All right. Well, friends, we have a special privilege today because my friend Dan is here. Dan has been a pastor at multiple different churches here in our province with our conference, most recently at Beachy for a long time, where him and I got to work as co-workers in our different churches here in this area. And Dan recently, he'll probably tell you, but he recently retired and then went on a missionary journey. And how beautiful that he reached out and wanted to tell us about it, because he's been working with Rebecca Hebert, who is one of our longest-serving missionaries that we're connected with. Now, this Sunday is the end of the Gospel of Matthew sermon series, talking about going into all the world and making disciples. And then we had a missionary want to come and share stories. So how about that for a conclusion to the Matthew series? So let's pray for Dan, and then let's enjoy this presentation and this teaching from Scripture. So, Heavenly Father, as we pause right now, we give thanks to you. You are the one who has sent us into all the world to go make disciples, followers, and students, to baptize them, to teach them, and you will be with us always to the very end of the age. So now as we hear these stories from Dan, we pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would speak through him, that these words would impact our hearts and transform us. And may many lives, Lord Jesus, continue to be transformed by the missionary work going on in Thailand and even the people here in our community in Beachy and in Swift Current who are loving and reaching out to those around him. So be with Dan as he shares, Lord Jesus. We thank you for him so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a privilege it is to be here this morning to open God's Word, but also to tell stories about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the power of God that we sang about. I want to give you a little bit of history. In 2013, I was pastoring in Meadow Lake, Northwest Community Church, and we came in contact with Rebecca Hebert, and we began at that time to sponsor her as she was looking forward to going to Thailand. In 2014, in February and March, my wife Kathy and I went to Thailand for a missional sabbatical. I had never heard of one, but I wanted to do one. In the 8 weeks we were there, we spent time visiting with eight different missionaries, and I'll show you some pictures about them as I will show pictures a little bit later. We were able to visit Rebecca as she worked in Lotbury during language study, and it confirmed that relationship, and it's amazing how one decision changes your life. 2015, we resigned from Meadow Lake, and I started working on a grain farm close to Moose Jaw. And then the missionaries in Thailand asked Kathy and I to come for 1 year to minister to churches in Thailand. We said, we can't come for 1 year, but we can come for 6 months. So during the winter of October 2016 till April 2017, Kathy and I supervised six churches in Thailand while the missionaries were learning Burmese in Yangon. So we were working with Burmese churches in Thailand. So they're immigrant people, and this, we would say that that was the highlight of our life, those 6 months in Thailand. Imagine 32 degrees every day of the year, just loving it. There's a resort that has a swimming pool, and for $2, we could go swimming all afternoon. And so at least once a week, we went there to enjoy the sun. 2020, Kathy and I went back to for 2 months in December 2019, January 2020, and we came back just before COVID, and it was time to reconnect with the Burmese people. And then in 2015, last a year ago, I retired from Beachy, and then the month of June, I spent in Thailand saying goodbye to the Burmese family that I knew. While I was there, I was working, talking with Rebecca, and four of the churches said, Dan, when are you coming back to preach in our church? And I said, I'm retired, I have no job. I will come back in February and March. And so this last February and March, I worked with Rebecca and the four Thai churches, and I'll later on show you some pictures related to that. But each Bible study, each life group, each kids club, each Sunday school, and each church service started with two questions. The first question is, what are you thankful for? So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what you are thankful for. Go. Second question. How can I pray for you today? Now you need to know that I'm the wealthy missionary in Thailand working with kids and life group. What do they need to pray for me for it? I really look like I have it all together. But I'm a human being. And so I want you to tell your neighbor, what do you need prayer for today? Because I have at least two requests that I need to bring before my Heavenly Father. What do you need prayer for today? Tell your neighbor. Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to read from verse 11 to 20. And then later on, after I finish reading that, hopefully it'll be on the screen, and we will read out loud together Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. So let's start with verse 11 of Matthew 28. As they were on their way, some of the guards came to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priest had assembled with the elders and agreed to a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money and told them, saying this, "His disciples came during the night and stole him while we were sleeping. If this reaches the governor's ears, we will deal with him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been spread among the Jewish people to this day. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee and on the mountain where Jesus was directing them. When they saw him, they worshipped, and some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." On the screen is the verses 18 through 20, and let's read that together. Then Jesus came. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When you read and hear those verses, which we call the Great Commission, do you need help carrying that out? 46 years ago, I became pastor in Foam Lake Church as a single person. And I wish I would have heard this phrase that my friend gave to me about 5 years ago. I wish I would have known this. This is what he wrote. "God made you with your personality. God made you with your gifts. He even made you with your idiosyncrasies." I call them idiotic syncrasies. "God knew all the mistakes you made and will make. And God knew all of the stupid things you would do. And yet he called you." Can you say amen to that? Because we don't always think that God can handle the stupid things that we... Maybe that's not a good word. There's kids here. We don't always think that God can use some of the silly things that we do. And yet God calls us. And so 6 months ago, I moved to the town of Borden. And I grew up in Borden. And I wanted to move back to share Jesus with some of my high school friends who need Jesus. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But they don't know they need Jesus. And so I want to be a witness to them. I want to share with them the goodness of God. One of my friends lives two doors down from me. It's amazing how little contact we have. But I moved there to try to share the gospel with my neighbors, guys I had grown up with. Now, sometimes it's easier to go on a missions trip and share Jesus with people we may never see again. I will tell you some stories about that a little later on. This passage, the Great Commission, must have some personal and practical application for each one of us. And I know in my life, I need help. I need God's help carrying out these verses. Why is it easier to share a story or share stories with a seatmate on a plane? I was traveling last year from Calgary back to Saskatoon, and I'm single. Beside me sits a lady in her mid-50s. She's Ukrainian Orthodox. And eventually, she has to ask why I'm on the plane. I said, well, recently I came back from Thailand. Oh. I said, I was helping out with worship services there. Oh, what does a worship service look like in Thailand? She sees heavenly involved in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And so she knows what a worship service looks like in Ukrainian Orthodox, but what does it look like in Thailand? And so I explained to her what it looks like. The music is terribly loud. They're very exuberant. They get excited about singing. And then I said, can I tell you two God stories? Is she going to say no? There's no way. See, I'm not preaching. All I'm doing is telling a God story. And I told her those two God stories. And I talked loud enough that other people would hear. That's a strategy. And I thought, oh, that was easy. But how come I don't go to my neighbor and say, can I tell you these two God stories? Because it's harder. I have to live with them every day. And God has called you to live in a specific place, given you specific neighbors, even the annoying ones. And he wants you to share the good news with them. You may not have a God story every week, but you should have some God stories where God is at work. And if you don't have very many God stories, ask God to give you some God stories, but then it'll be a little bit scary because it'll require that you do something a little bit out of your comfort zone. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 11 to 19. There are three questions that come out of this passage that I want you to think about. And while I was in Thailand, they would talk about these three questions every worship service. The first question is, what do you learn about Jesus in this passage? What do you learn about others in this story? And thirdly, what is the command that we need to obey? Let's read the story. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin disease met him. They stood at a distance, raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourself to the priests. And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down on his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? Then he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus is walking from northern Israel to Jerusalem. And this would take more than one day. As he is walking, Jesus is always paying attention to the needs of people. He's not just going for a walk from northern Israel to Jerusalem. My wife Cassie's love language was quality time. And the best thing to do with quality time is go for a walk. She'd say, Dan, let's go for a walk. And I'd said, where are we going? It doesn't matter. We are spending time together. See, I'm a destination person. I'm hurrying to get to Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't like that. He walks, and as he's walking, he's doing life with his disciples, and he's talking with them and illustrating what life looks like. And as they walk, they will encounter people, and Jesus will show them what ministry looks like. Do you see everyone that comes into your life each day as a God appointment? On Friday, Farmers Market has hot dogs for lunch, and I went to have hot dog, and I'm sitting by myself because it's 11:30. And I'm not really seeing the God appointment here yet, but within 5 minutes, a man I grew up with sits across the table from me and introduces himself. I would not have known who he was after being gone from Borden for 50 years. But that was God's appointment for me today, that day. Can we see everybody that comes into our life as a God appointment? Jesus comes to the village, and before he enters, 10 lepers see him. Now, lepers cannot live among society. They must live outside the town because it was believed that leprosy is very contagious. And when someone approached them, they had to say, unclean, unclean. Let's talk about lepers. They're standing outside the town. They somehow recognize Jesus. They know that Jesus is their only hope. What a great place to be. Jesus can heal us. Most people don't know that Jesus is their only hope. They think they can do it on their own, and they've tried all kinds of things. Jesus is their only hope. They had heard that Jesus healed people, and maybe if they asked, he would heal them. And so respectfully, they called from a distance, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If you had a dreaded disease and found a cure, wouldn't you cry in desperation? This morning, what do you need Jesus to help you with? Is it carrying out that great commission? You can't do it on your own strength. You need Jesus' help to help you fulfill it. And as you walk with Jesus, there are some things that only Jesus can help you with. And maybe this morning you're saying, yes, the great commission is big. I need Jesus' help to do it. Amen. I do. And maybe you can make that prayer as we walk through the rest of this passage. Back to Jesus. Jesus did not touch the lepers and heal them. He sends them away. I really believe that the lepers did not expect Jesus to do that. I think the lepers would expect Jesus to do something. He may not touch them, but I think they thought maybe Jesus could heal by talking. But touch, no, they were untouchables. So I don't know that they expected him to touch them. But when we come to an issue that only Jesus can help, you probably have some expectations how Jesus will help you. He could help me this way. I mean, they could have thought Jesus could heal us instantly. But Jesus is Jesus, and he will always do things differently than we expect, and it's true in this story. When someone isn't well, we pray for healing, and we maybe have a picture or expectation of how that would look, that Jesus would heal them. Will Jesus heal them instantly? Will he heal them through medicine? Will he heal them over time? We don't know. But we have an expectation of what Jesus would do. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests. You see, the priests had told the lepers that they were lepers in the first place. Their life has been marked by rejection from that day forward. Go show yourself to the priest sounds like and feels like rejection. What, we're going to go to the priest and he's going to say, you still have leprosy. Or, oh, maybe. The priests will heal us. Maybe God will empower the priests to heal. And so they take the largest risk in their life, the risk of rejection, and off they go towards the priests. The lepers have asked Jesus to heal them. And Jesus sends them away. If I was a leper, I would say that's the most ridiculous command I have ever heard. Jesus, why don't you just heal us? You see, when Jesus is at work, he may ask you to do the most ridiculous thing in your life. But that ridiculous thing will be where God is at work and where God wants to work. And in this case, that ridiculous request was what healed the lepers. So you have to take the risk. I told you that in 2014, Kathy and I chose to go on a missional sabbatical. That decision has shaped the rest of our life in a profound way. But we had to take that risk of going, raising the money and going at that time to Thailand to do ministry there. What Jesus asks us to do, sometimes we're reluctant to do it. And if we want to carry out the Great Commission, we may have to choose to do some ridiculous commands that the Holy Spirit will prompt us. You see, as the lepers are going towards the priest, as they are obedient, they are healed. You see, in North America, we are really good at knowledge, and we know this command, the Great Commission. We know that. In our heads, we know it. What we as North America have problems is obedience. And I speak for myself as much as anyone else. Because as I go to Asia, I find that they're more engaging and more willing to be obedient and take risks. God works in response to our obedience. So I ask you a question. What are you missing out on because you did not obey? Something that didn't make sense to you. This is a ridiculous request. But we miss out if we do not obey. Expectations. Yes, Jesus can heal, and that's why the lepers called out to him. Expectancy. Jesus did not heal the way they would have even imagined, but Jesus is always at work, and he will do things that we don't expect, and we will miss out if we hold on to our expectations rather than just being sensitive to what God is doing and where he's at work. One of the leper returns, and a loud voice gives glory to God. This Samaritan leper came back to give thanks to Jesus for healing him. The Samaritan worships Jesus. We may give thanks to God for what he's doing, and then that's it. But how about giving thanks to God and then telling my neighbor? This is what God did. Can you tell your neighbors the God stories of your life that sometimes happen almost every week? And we're thankful for it, but we need God's help to tell our neighbor and give glory to God. As the Samaritans worship Jesus, he gives a command. Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Another way of saying is, go on your way. Your faith has saved you. You see, the Samaritan knew he was healed physically, but in that moment, he was also healed spiritually. That faith had saved him physically and also spiritually. In this story, we see that Jesus healed the lepers as they walked away in faith. And in your life, your faith will heal you. Your faith will save you. What steps do you need to take in faith that may seem ridiculous that will change your life? Because we want that life change. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is a command that I need Jesus' help to obey. And there may be times where God may ask me to do something ridiculous. And I know in my head, but I need God's help to prompt me. Jesus, help me to follow this command. You are the only one that can help me. Open my eyes to see the God appointments that you have in place. I need your help. I have some pictures from when I worked with Rebecca Hebert. To understand my purpose of going back to Thailand, I wrote, I am going back to Thailand to encourage the pastors and churches in Thailand. And there's four Thai churches that I was going to work with. When I got to Thailand, Rebecca picks me up, and on the way to my apartment, she asks the most important question. Dan, what do you expect you will do? I said, in June, you told me that they asked me to preach in Thailand. Dan, you probably won't preach. Should I go home? So I want to tell the story of what God did and the little part that I had in what God was doing. To have some pictures and then I'll talk about them. Turn on my glow stick here. I should stand here, right? So one of the things that I turned it off. Oops, sorry. He said, push down. Do you know what? I pushed up. That's better. One of the things that I was asked to do before I went to Thailand was, could you build a greenhouse for a missionary in northern Thailand? And I said, I will raise money to build a greenhouse. I'm talking with Rebecca, and Rebecca says, the pastor does not need a greenhouse. But they need some tin replaced on the roof in their worship area. So we flew to Riyadh. And then Sunday morning was worship service. So there's a pointer here, right? Nope, not working. Anyways. Pastor is Pastor Nat, and you may have met her a couple years ago, right? When she was in Canada. She went back to minister to her own people group in Galgasin, and in 4 years, all of her family came to Jesus. Wow! Now, she's an evangelist, that's true, but Ajahnat that morning is illustrating those three questions that I asked you. She read the story, she showed it in pictures, and then asked, what do you learn about Jesus, what do you learn about others, and what is the command to obey? And then, who are you going to tell the story to this week? The guy sitting there like this is Cecil Ramos. He's from Bakersfield, California, and I met him also in 2014 when we were on our sabbatical. He is going with me, and we are going to help change the tin. This is what I found instead of a greenhouse. Hydroponic plants, much bigger than a greenhouse. Here's some more. Some more. So it's Sunday, and we want to break up some soil so they can plant some crop. And we don't have hoes. So I went to the hardware store and I bought 3 hoes and then some hedge trimmers, and then we started using them. There's no picture of me using them. This is Cecil. Now, Cecil is a bit of a wimp. He's about this tall, and he only does 600 push-ups every morning. You can see that, eh? And so that's not me. I can look in the mirror every morning and say I'm Atlas, but that doesn't change anything. This is the part of the worship area that when it's raining, it leaked, and so we were going to replace the tin there. On the way on the plane, Cecil says, "Pastor Dan, your construction skills could be pretty good, but mine are not." I said, "Cecil, we're just going to hire 2 Thai guys to do this work. I'm not doing that. Because by the time I buy the tools, we could easily pay the Thai guys to do the work." So Ajanat said to Cecil and myself, "I want you to come help build this roof with these 2 guys and just be Jesus to them." So I would help pass up the tin. This is one of the guys cutting the tin the right size. This is the 2 guys that I worked with. And so we were there maybe 3 days. The tin is done. Go home. What does God do? 1 month later, the man in the orange comes to Jesus. Wow. It's getting back on the plane. That's kind of a small airport. This was in a park. They were doing some park evangelism. And so they handed out cookies and they could decorate. And then we played Ultimate Frisbee. And they were surprised that the white-haired guy could run. The next day was a Saturday, and they were teaching DMM, which is disciple-making movement. Now, you notice, as a Saskatchewan conference, we don't have a church planting plan. The slogan is, disciples making disciples. And in Thailand, it's the same thing. Disciple-making movement. And so here they're teaching the Thai believers, pastors, disciple-making movement. And it should work with even illiterate people. Here's Rebecca making a presentation. Ajanat came back from Galgasin to Chechensau to teach. This is the one church that I went to. Now, Rebecca said, when you get to Thailand, the pastors are going to have a job for you. And so instead of saying to the church, see, the Thai run everything over there. The missionaries are kind of like passed that over. And so instead of saying to the pastors, "Pastor Dan is coming, he wants to preach in your church," they turn it around and they say, "Pastor Dan is coming, what would you like him to do?" And so they gave me 4 days at one church and then 2 days at another church. So this is the Sunday, and I have driven the lady with the white pants and red shirt to Sunday school so she can teach Sunday school. So my role is to help other people do ministry. Here's Pastor Knott in the white shirt, and the lady's name is Nong. Now, Nong means little. Now, anybody, and Rebecca will have told you this, anybody older than you, you show respect and use the word before their name is P, right? So she's actually younger than me. But P means a name of honor, so P Nong, I would call her. Guess what P means? Big. And I loved it on her name, Big Little. She didn't think it was funny, but Big Little. She is a powerful Sunday school teacher and just loves Jesus and lives actually with Rebecca. On the Monday, then we did disciple-making movement with the Burmese churches and pastors. And I told you I was in Thailand from 2016 to 2017. And for 6 months, Kathy and I lived in the same house as Joshua, this Burmese pastor. Here's the Burmese singing together. And here's the amazing part. Ajahnut in the pink pants is speaking Thai to Danghua. And Danghua is taking the Thai and turning it into Burmese so that everybody hears Burmese. And in your bulletin, we're praying today for Ozzy, and this is Ozzy. He's praying, I hope. So, in Thai, the sentence structure is the same as in English. I want to eat. The Thai words would form the same sentence structure. But in Burmese, it's exactly opposite. Eat, want I to. So you can imagine Danghua's job listening to Thai, turn it all upside down and speak it in Burmese. Pretty sharp kid. Loves Jesus, walks with Jesus, and I would have met her back in 2014 as well. On Tuesday, I helped with Kids Club, and the teacher's name is Ice. Ice and Som, the two girls, ladies that I worked with in Kids Club, are in university, and they wanted to practice their English on me, and they really realized how little English they knew once they talked to me who knows no Thai. This is a Muslim lady, and what I'm buying from her is a roti, and it kind of looks like a crepe. And I would put banana and egg in there, and she fries it up, and that would be kind of like my dessert. This is a coffee shop. This is Som, the girl in the back, and Pastor Chin, or Ding, would travel with us. And so this was Wednesday. On Thursday, I helped Rebecca teach English. And so here we have, they're going to do a story. There's 12 pictures. You put the pictures in a row, and then you write a story. And they can choose what order the pictures go. On Friday, here we're teaching Thai to Burmese kids. Now, the Thai government knows that they want everybody to be educated, whether you're legally in the country or illegally. It doesn't matter, because they do not want uneducated teenagers ransacking and destroying the country. So everybody gets an education. So here they're teaching Thai to Burmese kids. Now, Thai has 44 characters, and Nong is teaching them the characters and practicing them. I would usually sit where that lady is sitting by the idol there, and then sometimes help out with games that we played. After Kids Club on Friday, Nong and I would get supper at the market, and then we would go to Bible study. Notice we're sitting on the floor. Here's Pastor Ding, and sitting on the floor. Oh, back up. So I can sit on the floor, but in Thai, you never have your feet facing somebody else, always behind you. And so I would sit on the floor like this. And then because of the lack of insulation, I would soon have to move. This and this and this and this. The next week, what are they going to do to this old man? I had a red chair. And I sat on a red chair. And they said, this is your chair. You sit here. Do you know what happened the third week? Everybody sat on a chair. Talk about respect. Wow. That was so powerful to watch that happen. This is teaching English in a school. This is one grade. And then the other side of the room is the next grade. And we taught for about an hour and a half, and my job was to hand out candies. Rebecca and Boat were able to have them play the games to learn English, and my job was to hand out candies. This is Rebecca at a graduation for one of her friends who she's led to Jesus. This is English class, and just to show you how big English class was, this is a fairly complicated, it's been running English class for about 10 years, so they were learning English that I had learned like years ago, like perfect, imperfect past tense, and I just go, man, I haven't thought about that for about 50 years. But that's kind of what they were working with, or irregular verbs. This is at the market. I just wanted to show this picture of the fish. Now, you maybe know that in Thailand they don't kill anything because they believe in reincarnation. So how do you get fish from the market? Because the fish, when they come there, are still in water kicking and screaming. But anyways... Anybody know how they do that? Rebecca has not told you. Okay. The Muslim kills the fish, guts it, and then they can buy the fish. So it doesn't matter if the Muslim goes to hell, but the Thai are not going to kill. So that's how they get around it. So speaking about fish, one day Kathy and I were driving down the street, and there's a big kerfuffle. A guy on his bicycle had a basket behind him and had a load of fish taken to the market, and they're still alive. And sure enough, somebody bumps into him, knocks him over, the fish come out of the basket, and there's fish all over the road. Well, they're the worst thing in the world. What are they going to do? Well, they can't let them die, so they quickly throw them off the road onto the grass and then give them some water and then throw them back into the basket that he had. But there was no way you could drive by when the fish are squirming in the middle of the road, lest you would kill them. This is Soam. She's 20. This is Ice. And the girl on the front is Nuau. And I worked with all three of those girls in Kids Club. One weekend, Rebecca went up to Laos to teach disciple-making movement. And I asked, can I go? And she asked among the other leaders, and they said, no, you can't. Laos is a communist country, and you will draw too much attention to that situation, and so we can't risk you going. Okay. Instead, I was able to work with this couple, and they were doing second stage in disciple-making movement, and then later on we went on a prayer walk, and I went with Sarah, the lady in the glasses, as part of her team and some others. And one of the guys we prayed for was sitting on a bench. He was not in good health. And I heard later on he came to Jesus. I just go, wow, it's amazing. So one day my daughter-in-law, Lana, said, Dan, what are you doing? So I took this picture. And I probably went at least three times a week to sit in the sun in the afternoon when it's the hottest, and just to enjoy the beauty of the sun healing. This is Jill Raymer. Kathy and I would have met her in 2016 when she became a missionary. A little bit of history. She was scheduled to go to Ukraine as a missionary with John Weens, and John and Ev Weens. And then John passed away, and so she couldn't go to Ukraine, and instead went to Thailand, and she's worked with Multiply for about 5 years, then went up to Chiang Mai to work at a counseling center, and then later on, recently went back to Lotbury to help with people learning Thai. And so we had not talked about Kathy passing away, so the two of us had breakfast together and had a good visit. This is a great story. The lady in the blue with the stripe is a believer. And the lady beside her works in a restaurant taking care of children of the owners. So they open a restaurant and there's no customers. So they tell all of their workers, get back to the five principles of Buddhism. Don't steal. No bad language, no gossip, no alcohol, no inappropriate sexual relations. And so, still no customers. So the lady in the blue and white says, "Can I pray over your restaurant?" And so she does. And the customers start coming. And eventually, she says, "Would you like to hear more about Jesus?" And so she invites her pastor to come talk to the owners. And the lady in the white is listening and gets very curious. And so the only Friday night that I went to this church to do life group, she's there, and I watch as she receives Jesus, and then we prayed over her. What a powerful story of how God works and just responding to the gospel. This is the pastor, Pastor Bank, and Chin. And Chin was translating the story for me as it was happening. She was sitting beside me. One of the other things I did on Saturday was take this man from one church to another. His vehicle was reliable enough that he could drive about 4 blocks, but not 20 miles. And so my job was to drive him 20 miles from one town to the next so that he could teach music lessons. And he had 3 people that he taught. One was guitar, one was drums, and the little girl over there, I'm not sure what she was playing with. One day I met this man at the church, and Pastor Knott wasn't there yet. And they said, "Oh, you farmer, this man farmer." So I gave him a big hug. And I'm thinking, is it worth me coming every week for music lessons? I know Dom really appreciated me driving him. But is it worth it? As the music lesson is going on, Pastor Knott leads this man to Jesus. "Yes, I can come every week." Right? Wow, that was amazing. And then Sunday again, I brought Noam to teach Sunday school. I took this picture to show you, this is how much the farmer gets from his whole field of grain after they harvest it. That's all he gets. Could you live on that? Probably not. This is Dave and Louise Sinclair Peters. They went to Thailand in 2000. They have been ministering there, and Dave recently retired. Louise is the team leader, and so she travels back and forth to Thailand, and they were having a service there where they were honoring them, and here they're doing some foot washing. Dave taught the Book of Revelation with Pastor Bank as the translator on the Saturday, and then the Saturday afternoon we had a dedication for our farewell for him. This is Laurie and Jumi. Laurie is a professor of sociology at the University of Winnipeg before he retired, and his wife passed away about 11 years ago, and then about less than a year ago he married Jumi. God gave him opportunities to do ministry while he was a professor of sociology in India and also China. And the Chinese pastors were saying, it's really hard to do discipleship. Laurie says, come to Chechen Sao, come to Thailand. We maybe have a place for you where you can do discipleship. So they bring the Chinese believers to Chechen Sao, and then they organize discipleship for the week or 2 weeks. And Laurie has a hand in that. And he teaches school and also teaches some English. And the second last Sunday I was there, they had an appreciation for me and a farewell for Dave and Louise. And 2 churches got together. The lady here, her name just slips my mind at the moment. She works with anything to do with immigration. So she works for the Thai MB Foundation, would help Rebecca when she needs to update her visa. When we were there for 6 months, we needed a work visa, and so she helped us with that. And so as part of the appreciation, they gave me a t-shirt and some new pants, and so the people here are signing their name. This is May. May has a wonderful story. She's crippled, as you can see, and in Thailand, if you're crippled, you have some curse on you, and so you will be ostracized, avoided, and rejected. trek team comes to help the missionaries, and May becomes a believer, then her sister becomes a believer, then her mom becomes a believer, and the missionaries were able to help her get into a school and get an education. And while we were there in 2016, we got to know her a little bit better. I helped her dad build her house for one day, and her dad was a Buddhist shaman-like. So medicine, and he had millions of baht's worth of idols, so that'd be thousands of dollars worth of idols. That's her dad. And I heard the story of him coming to Jesus. And it happened in 2017 when we were there. And how he came to Jesus, and that weekend he laid it all aside, got baptized, went to Bible school for 3 years, and has been a pastor ever since. And he's kind of become my buddy. When he was still a Buddhist guy, I helped him for one day build his house, and that kind of made that connection. Here I'm telling the story of how they honored me by letting everybody sit in a red chair rather than sitting on the hard floor. There's some farewells as we said goodbye, some signing, Soam and ICE. And then I went up to Chiang Mai to spend a little time at Juniper Tree. Juniper Tree is an opportunity of ministry where missionaries come from different countries all around Thailand. And one of the biggest things is they have good health care in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, good doctors, and also a very good counseling center. And so all of the missionaries that were there when I was there were attending the counseling center. Here is Sarah and her four boys. Her husband, Ott, was teaching with Rebecca in Chiang Kong, so I took them out for supper that day. This is the last Sunday I was there, and then I was able to say goodbye, but also I took them all out for lunch. What do you think taking all those people out for lunch would cost? Less than $30. I just go, wow, that was easy. That'd be one person here. And then I also hosted a goodbye or a farewell, and I invited all the people that I had worked with in those 8 weeks, and we had a bit of a party, and here they're cheering that I'm leaving. And one of the things I said, one of them asked me, Dan, when are you leaving? I said, well, tomorrow we're going to go to the airport, and Rebecca is going to kick me out of here. Now, in Thai, that would be like totally unacceptable, but I'm Western, it doesn't matter. So these are the three girls that took me to the airport. Rebecca's, and they prayed over me. So Rebecca prayed in English, Dangwa prayed in Burmese, and Nong prayed in Thai. So it was really wonderful to hear all three languages. And this is supposed to be Rebecca kicking me in the rear end, but that's about as far as her leg got. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the stories that I told and what God did and just the opportunity to share about Jesus. One more story. I talked about Kids Club. And there was a little girl about 10 years old, two of them that helped at a number of different Kids Club. And on Easter Sunday morning, one of those girls came to Jesus. And I go, that's again, seeing God at work. And I had just a small part in that ministry. So my role changed from preaching. Now you need to know that if I preach in Thailand, it's like entertainment because I come one Sunday and then I go. Whereas I was able this time to spend 7-8 weeks with doing kids club and music lessons and Sunday school. And the impact, just being a servant to help them do their ministry well. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.